welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show.
Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn with the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Seth Harwood. Seth is the author of several novels, including Jack Wakes Up, which is published on May the 5th. He is also a podcaster, writing teacher, and co-creator of the Author Bootcamp program. Welcome, Seth.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So tell us a bit about yourself and your background, because I believe you teach writing as well as also writing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, I really tried to go the traditional route in terms of becoming a published writer. I went to graduate school in creative writing at the Iowa Writers Workshop, which is one of the better programs here in the U.S. And I got a lot of short stories published in journals. And then having my degree enabled me to teach creative writing, and I teach creative writing in English. And that's sort of what I've been doing for a while. That's my background. But then ultimately I decided to go to try and do things more on my own, because getting published in journals and chasing after agents that way wasn't working so well for me.
So your book, Jack Wakes Up, is coming out in print next week, which is very exciting. So can you tell us a bit about the book itself?
Well, first I'll tell you about my excitement. I'm really excited about it because, you know, last year, hopefully your viewers have seen my little video by now. Which they can find on my site, sethharwood.com, if they haven't. And so on there, you see the story of how I brought the book out last year with a really small publisher. And, you know, last year I was so excited because it was like, you know, it's sort of a lifelong or at least 10 or 13 year dream of mine to get a book published in print. And last year it came out, all my listeners hit Amazon and bought it up. And then, you know, things went really well and Random House bought it. So it was like, it was out for like 3 or 4 weeks and then it was not out. And then I was back to waiting again for a year for it to come out. So I've been waiting for this for a really long time. And, yeah, it's just building and building, and I'm really excited about it. Let me tell you about the book. It's called Jack Wakes Up. It's basically sort of like an action movie between two covers. It's been described that way. It's been described as, a fast-paced ride on a highway that you don't find on any map. It's basically a crime novel that takes place in San Francisco with a down-and-out ex-movie actor named Jack Palms, who gets himself into a real sort of a mess situation with gangsters, mobsters, ex-KGB agents, and drugs, and a whole bunch of stuff goes down in about 300 pages of breakneck non-stop fun.
Wow, sounds great.
Thanks. Yeah, it's exciting.
And it is a series, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wrote the book originally, and then I realized that I had a lot of fun writing it, and I also podcast the book starting in 2006. And by the time I was done podcasting it, I realized not only was I having a lot of fun writing it, but I was having a lot of fun podcasting it. And I wanted to bring another book out to the audience. So at this point, I've written and podcast three Jack Palms novels in his series. And just this weekend, I will finish podcasting the prequel, which features sort of a minor character from Jack Wakes Up named Junius Pons.
And so you mentioned podcasting there, and I've been hearing about you and Scott Sigler and J.C. Hutchins getting book deals from podcasts. So maybe you can just explain how your podcast has got you into publishing, traditional publishing, I guess.
You know, the big thing that all the big buzzword right now that everyone is talking about for authors is to build a platform online. And so, you know, in the old days, it was like the editors at the houses did editing, and then things changed and the editors have to do marketing now. And so they don't do editing and the agents do the editing, and the writers have always done the writing. But now, just because the market has changed so much and people don't know about promotion, or they don't know which methods of promotion work in today's economy and internet world, you know, the writer has had to do more and more promotion on his own and for himself, which means building a platform. And what a lot of writers out there are doing is creating a blog and blogging either their ideas about writing or something else that isn't their real writing, but it is, a blog so that they can interact with people on the internet. And the thing that occurred to me was that, you know, I really wanted to put out the actual content of what I'm writing. You know, my fiction is what I've put most of my energy into and what I've really worked hard and what I want people to get to know me by. So I wanted to put out my fiction on a blog and get people to interact with that. And so the real question became, you know, how do you put a novel online in a way that people can interact with it? It's just way too much text to give them all at once. And if you give it to them piece by piece, that has worked for some people, but I've never been a huge online reader, so I didn't think it would work as well. And I heard about people doing podcasting and giving the books out to people as audio. And to me, that just seemed like the best way, you know, to answer the question of how to put a novel out onto the internet, audio just seemed the best way to do it. For me to read the book myself to the listeners. You know, if people don't know me, what would they rather hear? Like my ideas about how I write or the publishing industry or my real book?
That's a good point. And how, I guess I've got some questions on the whole podcast and your novel idea. So how long did it take to read your whole book, Jack Wakes Up?
Well, it was 20 episodes, which I did one a week for about 5 months. And each episode was probably about a half an hour. When you first read it, you don't always get it right. So it probably takes about an hour to record each one. And then there's editing time. So, you know, figure at least 20 hours of reading and then editing and posting it on the web. I mean, it takes a lot of time and it's a lot of work and you have to do it every week for a really extended period. And now looking back, I've been podcasting almost nonstop for the past 3 years. You know, it has been a huge amount of work, and at the same time, it has given me so much back, and my experiences with my listeners have given me so much energy and excitement that it sort of feeds itself. But, it's a huge amount of work.
And I guess as somebody personally who's only just started podcasting and some other people who are listening, who are authors might be tempted, when you started, was it difficult? I mean, were you aware of your voice a lot? Did you have a lot of technical equipment? Or, you know, what are your recommendations for people just starting out?
I had no technical equipment. I had a MacBook laptop and I bought a USB mic, which is called a Blue Snowball, which I'm using now for this interview. I just plugged it right into the computer and started using GarageBand to record myself. Now I've changed things up a bit and I use a Zoom H2 microphone, which records things right into the microphone so that I don't have to record on the computer using GarageBand. That would just kick up a lot of fan noise that would get into the recording. And so I moved away from that. And the Zoom is like $150. It's a great little tool. You can see me using it in the video. It even has a normalize feature itself. I mean, you got normalize on the Zoom, and you also have a program out there called Levelator, which is free.
Mm.
And if you don't have a MacBook or something like that, you can get a program online called Audacity that I'm sure people have heard of, which is also free. And that's really all you need.
Mm.
Hearing your own voice is awful. And it drives you crazy for a long time, particularly after you hear your own, when you have to listen to yourself and edit it. And then I started out doing voices of different characters, and that sounded really weird, but at least I could get a good laugh out of it. Ultimately it all gets better with time. You get better at editing and faster with editing. You get more used to hearing your own voice, or at least to the point where you don't care that it sounds really weird to you or sounds bad to you anymore.
Mm.
And I've even gotten to the point now where some of my listeners have stepped in and helped me do some of the work because they want to try audio editing or they want to try to see sort of some of the pieces of how I do what I do. You know, now I've got people who are helping me make my website, a guy who's helping me put out the Crime Wave episodes, another guy who's helping me edit the Young Junius episodes. And, you know, at this point, it's sort of like a team effort. And I love these guys for helping me get this thing done. And, you know, a lot of people have gotten a lot of free content out of this. And along the way, a big number of them have wanted to pitch in one way or another, which has been really great and makes me feel really as though I have an audience as an author, which is really what I wanted from the beginning. I mean, they say, like, all authors need platforms now and that you want to have that platform so you can sell your book. You know, in addition to having those financial goals at the end of it, or those goals to look forward to, also just building an audience and being able to interact with that audience is so sustaining and gratifying for a writer that it's all, I mean, that's really been a pleasure in itself just along the road every step of the way. The Palms Daddies and Palms Mamas. I love them.
Yeah, so it's interesting phenomenon, and talking to J.C. Hutchins about it too, is that your fans become this amazing community. So why is podcasting so good at building that community as opposed to, say, blogging, for example?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think there's a lot more... It feels a lot warmer and closer to have someone talking to you into your ear than to read someone's blog. Blog can feel a lot colder than podcasting, and ultimately, I think there's more of an onus to sort of edit yourself and be tight when you're writing a blog. Whereas with a podcast, if you're putting out a half hour, 45 minutes a week, you know, there's places in there where you're just going to start talking about things, either before the episode or after the episode. And as you start to inform people of what's going on with you, there's a real humanity that comes through in that. And I think the listeners respond to that. They can hear the energy. They've told me that they can hear the energy of my excitement for this in my voice, and I think they really respond to that. And also, being pretty tech-savvy, which Hutch and Sigler and I have had to be to really get into the podcasting space here, we're also really active online, and so we're approachable, and we can respond back to our readers and listeners when they want to message us. So there's lots of ways for them to get in touch with us. I say my email address, seth@sethharwood.com, in every episode, and constantly remind people that there's a way they can phone to me and leave messages and comment on my site. And, you know, there's just a lot of interaction there, which I think really opens it up. And also, you know, I think it goes back to what I was saying before, where it's like, you know, I'm giving you my real fiction. And, you know, not only is that warmer, but that's more for getting involved with a writer you don't know. It's even more, it's more attractive to get the real fiction with the energy and the love and involvement of someone reading it to you than just to get a blog post.
No, absolutely. You mentioned social networking sites there and being accessible to your readers. Do you find any particular one social networking site better than the others?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all really tools. And part of the reason I got into podcasting is because I wanted to get my stuff out there in as many ways as possible for people to find a way that it worked for them. So I started doing text online and the podcast. And now, you know, you try different tools and you find the ones that really worked for you. I found that doing the podcast worked better for me than doing the text online. And with social networking tools, I've tried all of them and I try to have a presence on all of them. But, you know, in time you find some are easier for you to use than others and they work better for you. I've found Facebook a lot easier to interact with than MySpace. Mm. MySpace always kind of had a sort of weird interface for me that I always found kind of awkward for whatever reason. Yeah, there's a lot going on Twitter. There's a lot of people want to be on it and they're not quite sure how to use it. But I think you and a lot of other bloggers I've seen are really doing a great job using it now. And it's really become a good tool. And I'm getting more involved in it, too. I think, you know, if you can find the right app to use with Twitter, I'm using TweetDeck now, then that really adds a lot to it rather than just using it via the web.
No, absolutely. And I guess all of those things come together, don't they, into the author platform idea. And just back a bit on your, you know, you getting a publishing deal. Did you get a print publishing deal based on your podcasting platform, or were there other reasons?
Just one more online thing that I would say is Goodreads. I'm really starting to get into now.
Oh, okay.
So my plan was to say I have a platform and say, you know, there's 2,000 or 5,000 or whatever number of people out there who want to buy my book. And people were emailing me constantly and saying, we want to buy your book. When's it going to come out? And I, you know, in the beginning, I thought, if I can tell an agent that this is going on, then they'll want to represent me and they'll want to sell my book. And that didn't work. You know, I was still getting blown off by agents. Someone telling them something just wasn't enough. And so I was able to convince a small publisher, Jeremy Robinson at Breakneck Books, that I could sell books. And he knew Scott and he knew what we were doing in the podcasting space. So he believed me and knew that I could sell it. So he published Jack Wakes Up with Breakneck Books. And like Scott had done a year before, last year I did an Amazon rush to really get everyone to buy Jack Wakes Up on the same day to push it up the Amazon charts, because doing that is a really tangible way of showing someone that it can sell or that it has sold. And so really that's what it took for me to get people to recognize. It took literally showing them that I could sell the book by having a platform before they caught on and were willing to take a shot at me. And then an agent who I had told exactly what I was going to do, saw me do it and then came along and said, you know, I'd love to work with you now. I think we can really do this. And then as soon as he sent the book out, editors immediately fell in love with the book and wanted to publish it. But it took getting an agent and doing all this before I could ever get the book to those editors.
Mm. And do you think things are changing? Is the publishing industry becoming more receptive to the online methods of platform building?
I don't think it is. I think, well, another thing going back, in terms of how hard it or easy it is to start up with a podcast, you know, Scott really helped me out a lot in the beginning, and Scott and I are now trying to help out writers just in general by doing our Author Bootcamp website and our classes through authorbootcamp.com. We want to show people how to use this methodology and how to do what we've done in terms of making the free audiobooks as podcasts and making the online platform. But, you know, I just got back from a conference in Los Angeles this weekend, and I was at a conference last year in Los Angeles, and there were panels at both of them where people were talking about publishing and where is publishing and what's going on and what should authors do. And, you know, last year at this panel, people were talking about blogs and how to use Facebook and how to use LinkedIn. Mm. And I really, you know, I was there with Scott and we really felt like these people are about 2 years behind what we were doing. And, you know, now I went to this thing in LA this past weekend and there was a panel there called Publishing 3.0. And there were some very brilliant people on that panel. And, you know, basically what they were doing was analyzing the problems with publishing and saying, you know, the big corporate model doesn't work, or this is the problem or that's the problem. And maybe Goodreads will be the way that it could get better. But, you know, they're analyzing the problem and still not finding solutions. On the same day that I was at that conference, Scott Sigler sold 600 copies of The Rookie through his website by himself. Mm. And it's just like, here everyone else is kind of standing on the sidelines, sort of analyzing and trying to figure out what's going to work, or analyzing and talking about the problem. And people like Scott and hopefully JC and I are actually trying to do something about it and really making changes. You know, one of the things that Scott always says is that people, you know, there's a lot of people out there who will offer to teach someone something and say, you know, I'm going to teach you how to do this. And then you look at their credentials and they, you know, maybe they have a good blog or something like that, but no, they don't have a book that's published by Random House. They don't have a book that's published by St. Martin's. They haven't actually made it work. And so, you know, in a world where there's a lot of online people professing themselves to be experts, you know, there's a lot of talk out there and what we're doing is actually working. And so, you know, the thing that struck me in listening to this discussion this weekend was that, you know, last year I thought these people were about 2 years behind us. And I still think they're somewhere around 2 years behind us. You know, they're still trying to figure out the implications of print on demand technology. They're still talking about platforms and social networking. And it's like, you know, we were there a couple of years ago, and now, you know, Scott has taken it even further with this new project that he's doing, and we're moving forward, and it's like, you know, I don't think they're actually, I think we're starting to get a little bit of recognition now in terms of what we're doing with podcasting, and Scott and I are going to speak at a conference in New York in September, but, you know, we tried to do this conference for Book Expo America that we went to last year and talk about podcasting there. And their response was, oh yeah, you guys, someone talked about podcasting at one of the panels last year, so we're not going to do that again. Like, they still just don't get fundamentally that an author is going to get more response from an audience by giving them the actual work than by just blogging or like going on Facebook and trying to be cool on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you got to give something to the listeners, and they appreciate the content that we give. They appreciate the stories. They appreciate the audiobooks. They get a lot out of it. Some of them give back and want to buy the book. It's not all of them, and it's not, maybe it's not even 10% of them, but you know, it's free advertising. And in a place right now where A, people don't have money to advertise, and B, they're not really sure what to do with that money, what we're doing for free makes a hell of a lot more sense than the things that they're trying to come up with to do with their money. And so it's just weird to see that people are still more worried about giving things away for free than they are about actually finding something that works and using it to build an audience. Mm. It's just sort of crazy, but it doesn't seem to be happening very quickly. I mean, people really seem aware of the fact that the internet is sort of like, you know, the cost of things on the internet is free, but the book industry is really digging their heels in and saying, you know, we're going to make you pay $15 for this ebook that costs us nothing to give you, and we're going to really dig in. And you know, it's not changing quickly enough. And so authors like myself and the other guys that I work with, we've got to just make these changes and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm, no, that's great. And obviously, I mean, from a new author's perspective, you've got the book deal now, you've been podcasting for years, you know, you've got the platform. So do you have any sort of the first things that people should do as a new author? You know, a new author should start podcasting, they should start a blog, they should get into social networking rather than chase a traditional publishing deal.
I mean, the thing that really got me and kicked me in the pants was when I've gone to grad school. That's supposed to mean that I have really good connections to agents. And I sent my book out to about 8 agents, and 2 of them really were interested in the book. And so I got it to them. And then about 6 months later, both of those agents sort of completely fell apart and pulled out and were no longer there. So it was either go back to square one and start querying agents again or find a totally alternative path. And so, you know, I think querying agents and sending out query letters is a part of the process that's worth learning just because it's ultimately a part of the game. But yeah, I think absolutely the thing to do is to get, I say you need to get a blog, but by getting a blog, what I mean is that you need to get an RSS feed.
Mm.
You need to get an RSS feed that people can start subscribing to, so that rather than expecting people to come to your website, which they won't, you are finding a way to get them subscribed so that you can get your content to them. And, you know, a lot of people are using Google Reader and bookmarking websites and stuff like that to sign up to an RSS to get blog updates. But again, it's like, you know, if I see somebody's blog pile up and there's like 30 posts in there that I haven't seen in a week, I'm not going to go back and read them all. And I might just click on it and look at the most recent one and get out of there. One of the things, another great thing about podcasting and getting involved with people's podcatchers like iTunes or Juice or whatever, you're actually having people automatically download these files from you. And, you know, I don't think you put out a whole bunch every week, but I think you put out one a week. You're consistent. You give them something that you want, that they want, and you make sure it's a quality product. So the answer to your question is absolutely yes. If you have a book that's finished, you've shown it to some people that you know, and you really have confidence in your writing chops, then it can be time to go out and start doing this. But you never submit to an agent or an editor, and you never start going out online with your book until it's really finished.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a learning curve there for getting better at writing and for making a book polished. You know, I went to grad school for it. Other writers I've heard say, you know, the best way to edit your book is to put it away for 6 months and then go back and read it and see what you really think of it. In 6 months, your opinions can really change, and then you see what's really on the page, and you're not just responding to what's in your head or your own ambivalence or hopes that it's something better than it might be. So you got to make sure that your book is done and that it's ready to go to people. And then, yeah, I think you put it out there. I mean, I think you're better off having 100 or a couple of thousand people look at your work and tell you if they think it's good, than sending it out to 10 agents and hoping that those agents, who really don't want you as a new client for a debut author probably and are overworked as it is, trying to ask them if it's good writing or not and expect them to give you the answer.
Mm. No, that's brilliant advice. Thank you for that. So I guess just we're almost out of time. So just one last question. You mentioned your author boot camp program that you and Scott Sigler do. Can you tell us a bit more about that and also whether it's available online or just a live program?
Right now it's live, and we are doing it. We've done it in San Francisco. We're going to do it in San Francisco this summer. In the fall, we'll be teaching it through Stanford here on the West Coast, and I'm going to do a small presentation of it at Harvard on the East Coast. I would love to have it online, and I'm starting to work with Stanford doing some online creative writing teaching, and I really want to get the author bootcamp online because, you know, it just makes so much more sense to have that in the online format where you can be wherever you want to be in the world. You can, you know, the assignments range from doing Facebook and how to make a good Facebook profile and how to set up groups on Facebook and how to get involved in Twitter, all these different things, to actually getting yourself some recording equipment, learning how to record and edit your episodes and your readings, learning how to make an episode by combining an intro with your story content, with your outro, putting all these things together and using the tools that we've used, Scott and I, to create our author platforms, which really, you know, it's not rocket science. It's like learning how to create your book in learning how to create an audiobook out of your writing, which you serialize through the web by making it into a podcast, and learning the social networking tools, which, you know, briefly I would say are Twitter, Facebook, and really understanding how to use and make an RSS feed that you can get people to interact with, and getting your book onto iTunes, which is easy. But in Author Bootcamp, we really take you through the steps. We take your computer. I mean, you bring your computer to the class, and we really walk you through the whole thing so that when you're done after the 2-day course, you are set up to go home and record and start making your episodes, and you have your feed and you can kick things right onto iTunes, and you've got another group of class members who are listening to your stuff and can troubleshoot it for you, and you've seen the equipment and how to use it, and you're ready to go. I mean, you know, Scott and I and JC, well, Scott the most, you know, it takes a long time to figure out how to do this, as you're finding out now with your podcast. Mm. And the more you have someone helping you along at the beginning, the more pain that you can avoid going through, the less pain you can have. And so, you know, we really want to, we found a method that we really think works. We want to show it to other writers and help them learn how to do this, which is really effective and really doesn't cost much at all.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so that's the story with the classes. I would love to get them online. We're doing one in June in San Francisco, and then in the fall here in San Francisco, here in Palo Alto at Stanford. And we're also going to have one in New York City after the conference, probably towards the end of September. So check it out on authorbootcamp.com. We have a blog there and that you can subscribe to get new information on Author Bootcamp. There's some student testimonials from the first class, and, you know, I think it's really something that's going to work out for a lot of writers when we start getting it bigger.
Now, that's brilliant. Thank you for all of that, Seth. So just finally, how can people find out more about you and how can they buy Jack Wakes Up?
Perfect. People can find out more about me by going to sethharwood.com. Jackwakesup.com will take you to the same website. The book is called Jack Wakes Up. It's available on Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores near you. You can find all the ordering information by going to sethharwood.com/order. Even where you can get signed copies to help me storm the charts here in San Francisco and try to get onto the San Francisco Chronicle bestseller list. There are bookstores here that will take your order, ship it to Australia or wherever you may be, and I will be happy to go into those bookstores and sign it for you. The book comes out on May 5th, and ever after that, it will be in stores with some luck.
That's brilliant. Well, all the best for that, Seth, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate coming on here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!